Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations.
Woohoo! Cheers! Clink, clink.
Woo-hoo, clink, clink. Why aren't we really clinking our glasses?
Because for the first time ever, we have to be remote.
We are remoted from one another.
Yeah, it's strange.
we've never tried this before, but we're using a ye olde Skype, a traditional Advent technology when... Right. of your co-host is dreadfully disgusting ill and doesn't want to contaminate the household of another one.
Right. I never thought about it, but Skype does kind of have a superfluous E at the end. So ye old Skype actually kind of works.
Ye old Skypey.
Although, if you take off the E, it might be called Skip. That's weird.
I mean, all these names are so special. So... this is Church Drunk, remote style. We apologize if there's more sound issues than usual, but we're here. We're happy to be here. Things you should know at the top, we are Catholic. You don't have to be, but it is a Catholic-ish show about Catholic-ish things. And sometimes we tiptoe up to heresy, and we try not to blaspheme, except when we mean to.
Yeah, sometimes it's semi-intentionally intentional.
See earlier this season with O Come Emmanuel. And sometimes we use grown-up language or references, and you've been thusly warned. So I'm Dizzy here with my co-host Guess across the lines. Guess, hello. What are you drinking?
It's kind of funny to actually have to ask that. Usually we ask and it's like I can see exactly what you're drinking, but I am drinking some Amor Mio tequila. Because it is Love Week, so Amor Mio seemed appropriate. B, I was too lazy to make a cocktail. And C, Feliz Navidad, amigos míos.
Get drunk.
Yeah, right?
It's straight tequila.
Just drinking, just sipping on some good tequila. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what are you drinking, sicko?
Oh, I'm drinking a festive glass of ginger ale because that's all I trust to go down my gullet. Someday it'll be spiked with something else.
Yeah, there you go. A little gin and ginger coming down the road.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice. I can dream of it.
Yeah.
So,
we know what we're drinking, but we know that, you know, maybe if I was a little bit more, invested in the cocktail process, and B, you weren't puking on your shoes, maybe we'd be drinking something a bit more involved. And for that, we would turn to Michael P. Foley's Drinking with St. Nick, always a classic. And on December the 23rd, according to Mr. Foley, we honor St. Servulus.
Servulus. Can we get a spelling on that?
S-E-R-V-U-L-U-S. Yeah. Snape. And Saint Servulus apparently was a 6th century saint of Rome. He was a beggar. Just the starting line of this little story says it all. It says, once you hear the story of Saint Servulus of Rome, you will be grateful for whatever gifts you receive on Christmas, no matter how chintzy or lame. That's a nice sentiment to have, I suppose. But apparently St. Servulus was a beggar, was born afflicted with a palsy, as one is, and was paralyzed. And so he would sit outside of St. Clement's Church in Rome and he would beg. And when he had, kind of gotten his day's take of begging alms, then he would cover his own basic needs and necessities and then use whatever was left over to... take care of those who he considered to be, or I guess just were generally considered to be, poorer than himself. So he would fulfill his own basic needs and then take care of others, even though he was already a beggar himself.
And had the palsy.
Yeah, right, had the palsy. And he's like, oh, well, you've got, I don't know what's worse than palsy, like double palsy? You have two palsies? Can you pluralize that?
Palsy on both sides.
I don't know. But so he would, even though he was himself a beggar, he would give to the poor from whatever excess he had. And I guess got some renown and was surrounded by family and friends when he was dying and had a vision of heaven and said something to the effect of, can't you hear the music in heaven, everybody that's like here gathered around? And so that's kind of like the, I guess, the justification for being like, well, he must be already in heaven if he can hear the music of heaven. I don't know.
The heavenly host singing. Yeah.
The whole thing gets weird because then Michael P. Foley recommends for us to drink in honor of St. Servius the St. Clement's Super Rich Contreau Hot Chocolate honoring St. Servius. And it's like, it's hot chocolate with heavy cream and dark. So you, like, you make the hot chocolate like from scratch, like whole milk, heavy cream, dark chocolate. And then you add some Contreau, some crushed cloves, some lemon zest. And of course you top it with some whipped cream. So
it sounds pretty great. I'm assuming there's some alcohol meant to be in there too.
Yeah, the Contreau is there. It's modest, but it's there. So it just gives it that little kick, you know? I mean, it's St. Servius. You have to be somewhat modest. You can't go completely over the top.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're going in the direction of, like, he's in heaven, so here's the heavenly, like, excess drink. But a more authentic St. Servius drink, like, here's your water.
Yeah, it's right.
here's your purified water.
Some sour wine.
Yeah. Oh, poor Servius. I don't know. Like him, though. He got more press. He's a good guy. I'm glad we know about him.
Yeah, he's a good one. He's a good egg, that Servius. So anyway, maybe we'll try that when we're feeling ambitious and you're feeling back on your feet.
Goodness, you know the worst part is not being drunk.
Yeah.
This whole thing. Yeah. And hungry. But that's
Going to say, the second worst part is probably, during this most festive season, being restricted to saltines.
Yeah, and I was going to do, like, all this baking, as you do for, like, holiday celebrations. Like, that's what feels sort of, you know, getting ready for Christmas to me is making stuff, baking and preparing things. And I did a little bit already, but then I was like, well, that has to come to a screeching halt because I don't want to give people, you know, the palsy.
Yeah. It's the greatest gift of them all.
Some time off of work, everyone. Here you go. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm a little sad about that. But today, and especially because today we're talking about something to nosh.
Today is the day of something to nosh. So your contributions will be minimal because you'll be like, saltines, and just that's it, grumpy.
I can talk about food.
Okay, you talk about food. Fair enough. So yeah, we've been doing, for those of you that have been following along with Advent, we've been doing the, what did we start with? Something to hear, something to watch, something to read, something to nosh, right? That was our order. So with this fourth week of Advent, which kind of is appropriate, right? Love week. And we're going to talk about food. I feel like those two are very actually strongly connected.
I think for humans, 100%, right? Every culture has its love language in food in some way. Like, that's what makes us nostalgic for home or our family or our culture, even our, like, maybe more removed ethnic traditions. Like, that's family. It's love and it's food.
Yeah, because it pulls together, like, so much, like, all of the different senses, right? So there's, you know, like, you eat with your eyes first, and, like, the smells really are that, like, sense of nostalgia. Like, you remember what the kitchen smelled like during the holidays when you were a kid and stuff like that, you know? And then, obviously, taste, and there's texture, and there's, like, all these different parts that kind of fold together. And it is an experience of love, you know, and it's an expression of love in a lot of ways, you know, like the reason that we get together and we cook these huge meals during the holidays, if we are fortunate enough to be able to do so, unlike poor St. Servius. You know, it's because we love each other and we care about each other and we want to, like, you know, like, lay out the spread, for family.
And even, like, you know, my wish for baking is in the same vein, right? Like, this is the time of year where, like, getting homemade gifts is very sentimental. Like, I took this time to make you this nice thing. Yeah. And, it is love. So, all right. Well, we were going to bring some things we like to nosh.
Yeah. What would you have been baking if you were baking right now?
Well, like, every year I typically make things that, like, I know my people really like, right? Like, so I've got a few people who really want the snickerdoodle cookies and that kind of thing, and I don't bake all year, so I'll do that. But then I also try to find, like, something new. And my new thing this year, which I feel is right up my wheelhouse because it does not take too long to make. It's not overly complicated, but the payoff is great because it's beautiful and it looks festive. And all credit to the queen, Ina Garten, the Barefoot Contessa, because it's French chocolate bark. And the this is that you have to, if you can, you know, if you're going to make it, buy the good chocolate. So you need to buy like the best bittersweet and semi-sweet chocolate that you can. And all you have to do is melt it and add stuff to it. And she tells you what to add and like what order, but it has like candied ginger, apricots, cashews, cherries, and golden raisins. It's like base level, and it just looks so pretty. It's like little jeweled pieces, and it tastes very like rich and good, and it looks pretty all cut up. So that's what I've been making quite a bit of before I took ill, before I fell ill.
Yeah, I can attest to the fact that that is certainly a solid add to the holiday tradition. It was so good. Yeah, like I was foisting it on Mrs. Guest, being like, you have to try this.
I made more of it before I got sick. So she's got her own bag coming. But
nice.
It looks pretty on a plate. You know, like, so that's my level of cooking where I'm like, this looks very nice. And it has good ingredients. It is also easy to make. So
there you go.
Mix them up, people.
Yeah.
What about you? What are you making?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, I think when it comes to, you know, something to nosh at Christmas time, I think anything homemade takes the, you know, like precedence, right? Like, because it's a time where people are more intentional about how they're spending their time. And if you're not, you know, out hanging out with friends and family or doing holiday parties or doing Christmas shopping or whatever, like, it's a great time to just be, you know, usually the weather's kind of crummy and, you know, like if you can get out for a walk, great. But if not, like hang out in the kitchen and make something delicious. So certainly like when it comes to something to nosh in the Advent season, like homemade is the way to go. Right. Yeah. And last Advent when I was doing the first stages of that baking with Brother Rick, you know, going through that big book of all the recipes, it was the first time where I was really trying to like stay on target, right? And like hit all of these recipes in a certain amount of time. And one of the favorites, I think it was actually a Christmas recipe, but it's going to become probably an Advent season recipe or maybe Christmas season, who knows, but was panettone, which I was not looking forward to having to make because every panettone that I've ever had has been like dry and crumbly and crappy. But it came out like when you make it yourself, sometimes you learn what some of these things are supposed to taste like when they're like fresh out of the oven or something like that. You know, like
very good last year. I do.
Yeah. Cause like usually the panettone comes in a box, right? And it's been in that box for a long time.
And it's like, it's imported. That just means it's traveling. Yeah.
It's been waiting for you to buy it forever. I saw one this year that was like filled with chocolate. It's like with chocolate fudge ribbons in it. And I'm like, no, that's just because it's already dry as fuck. Like you don't want to ribbon that.
No.
So I made one last year according to Brother Rick's recipe and it came out so much better than I was anticipating. And I think I might be adding that to the holiday traditions is a homemade panettone. So that's one thing that's on my list, to nosh this year
for sure. A little holiday miracle.
Yeah.
So well.
I know, right?
Like, what other things, like, from your year of baking with Brother Rick? Because, I mean, there were some things that I know you don't want to make again. But what are the ones you think you're going to keep on the list?
The cornbreads were a little dicey. The cornbread section, not my favorite. I'm working on a blog post right now to try and get it up onto the website to kind of reflect on the whole year and the recipes. But, some of my favorites were the Easter breads. Which I had never really made before, but there was like four or five different Easter bread recipes in there. Like braided loaves that were usually like a sweeter dough or like a spiced dough. Like there was like cloves and cinnamon and all kinds of interesting things in some of these Easter breads. And he had like a Polish one and he had one from
an egg bread too that we liked.
Yeah. Well that one of the Easter breads was one where, you braid it and you wrap it in a circle, like, so it's like a braided wreath basically, and in the middle of the wreath you put a raw egg and you like in the shell and you put it in the oven and it comes out basically as like a hard boiled egg, but it hasn't been boiled, it's been baked, which like makes sense logically, but I was still very dubious of this process. I was like, I just don't know. But it totally worked. And it was a tasty bread with like a hard boiled egg in the middle of it that you had to like pull out of the loaf of bread and crack open. So, you know, it was fun.
Good. Yeah. Not an ad. good. All right, yeah. So we'll look forward to the blog listing then.
Yeah,
all
the and then stuff. The other one that I do want to make that was, I think it was just an ordinary time bread from that section, but I'll probably do it sometime during this holiday season, is the German coffee cake. It's like a cold coffee cake. Ooh. That is, you roll it up. It's kind of like a bunch of like little cinnamon buns that you make, but then you sort of paste them all to the inside of like an angel food cake pan, and then bake it and turn it over, and you drizzle some icing over it, and it's so good.
That sounds amazing. You haven't made that yet. Yeah.
No, not yet. So okay. It's good. It was kind of nice. I've added to my sweet baking repertoire, which is limited at best. Usually I leave like the Christmas cookies and all that stuff to Mrs. Guess and her mom. My mother-in-law is like big time on the Christmas cookies. So I get to just enjoy the fruits of their labors at this time
of year. True. And I do love like just the straight up American traditional sugar cookies. You know, those are so good. Can't go wrong with that. Kind of
when I was growing up, my mom used to make something called a forgotten cookie, which is basically just like a meringue. And I think she would put like chocolate chips in them, but they were called forgotten cookies because you put them into the oven. You'd like preheat the oven and then like turn the oven off and put the cookies in and just leave them there like overnight or something like that. So they would just kind of sit in like a warm oven overnight, like these meringues. And I don't know why. I think it was like probably around the same time that I had like watched Home Alone for the first time, so the idea of a forgotten cookie like really struck a heartstring. I was like, you just leave them there, but they're also really delicious, like meringues with chocolate chips, and they come out like slightly chewy and like really good. And then my mom went to like, she moved into a new house with a new oven and left the forgotten cookies in there overnight, like as she had always done, and they totally burned like overnight.
Oh my gosh.
It was really sad.
That is so sad. Oh, the forgotten cookies literally burned as did their
like almost intentionally burned. Just with a new oven, different settings, everything went haywire.
That is just disheartening. I'm so sorry. I know. Well, hopefully she can try again.
Yeah, for sure. Well, aside from sweets, what are the Christmas dishes that you look forward to for like Christmas dinner and stuff like that?
You know, we have had different things. Like, we are not entrenched in one thing, and we've done everything from like, I don't think an actual goose, but definitely like turkey to prime rib to ham.
Yeah.
And where we are too, like tamales are, you know, traditional.
Right.
So if somebody's going to have a tamalada, like have a party, then that's really the best thing for Christmas.
That is a fun thing to get in on if there's a tamal party happening in your neighborhood, to jump on board and help out and make them and learn the process. And, you know, like kind of for me, being that like that's not the culture that I grew up in, you know, the opportunity to kind of dip my little pinky toe into a different culture is lots of fun. And also just to see like the way that it brings the community together is always great.
Yeah, I think the big parties are what makes it really fun, because lots of people come and everybody makes them a little bit differently.
Right. Yeah, so it's one of those things where everybody's got like their own twist.
Different fillings. There are sweet ones too for Christmas with like cinnamon and raisins and walnuts, which I like.
Yeah.
So that's I don't really have those other times of year.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is something that's like available at restaurants year round, but in terms of like making them, like this is the time of year where it ramps up for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think most people know that. Another one for Christmas is like pozole, which is like a soup with like chicken and pork, and it can be red or green. And you garnish it with like lime and cabbage and radish, and it's really, really yummy. That's like a very good hearty, like Christmas Eve kind of soup.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I was unaware that like green pozole was a thing until just a few days ago. I had a bowl of pozole verde that was so good.
I feel like that's the best of it.
Yeah.
Like red pozole is nice, but
I've always been a fan of red pozole, but never knew that I had to differentiate the colors. And now I'm like, oh, pozole verde is even better.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I never thought of it as a holiday thing, but now that I know that it comes in red and green, that makes a lot of sense. Wow.
I had not thought of that bit either.
Yeah.
I think that takes a long time, right? Like, that's like a slow cooking kind of totally. On the stove day. So yeah. That feels like the holidays, like investing that yeah. time.
What and in you? My family, that's Cioppino. So
red
seafood stew sort of deal, you know. And so my grandmother had like a famous Cioppino recipe, and she wouldn't only do it at the holidays. She would have a Cioppino feed from time to time. So like doing the Cioppino has become sort of a tradition of, that we try and keep alive from my grandmother. So usually Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or somewhere around that time. If we're not doing it as like the official holiday meal, we try to get together and do some Cioppino. So right. that's a classic one in my family.
And if people don't know, Cioppino is like a seafood stew.
Yeah. Sometimes you'll hear it called like fisherman stew. Yeah. But seafood stew. So it's like a red sauce with all like with whatever seafood you can find, basically yeah. like throw into it.
Yeah. Someone was telling me recently that like seafood on Christmas Eve is an Italian thing. And I didn't know.
Yeah.
That kind
like
of
the
sense.
Super traditional Italian thing is the Feast of Seven Fishes, where it's like okay. seven different courses, each one featuring a different type of fish or seafood. Yeah. I've never done it. Like that's not.
Cioppino, you just throw them all in, throw all seven into the pot.
Yeah, Cioppino, it's just like everybody in the pot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Not nearly as much of a production as the Feast of Seven Fishes, but super delicious.
Yeah.
Even better if you're wearing a bib, which is the way that we did it at Granny's house. So you throw a bib on at the table, like red and white checkered bibs sitting at every chair. Yeah.
Just go to town.
Exactly. Yeah. A classic.
Festive. Okay. Well, those are lots of good things to nosh. You know, all the like Christmas goose and meats, like, I feel like, again, all about the side dishes.
Totally. Yeah. I've never done a goose. I kind of am interested in maybe trying a goose at some point instead, because we used to have, you know, like the huge family Christmas where there was, you know, 20, 30 people, sometimes more than that. If we had like, you know, non-family coming over and the presents, you know, when with me and all my cousins and everything like flowing from one room into the next. And it's kind of, you know, like as everybody's grown up and families have gone different directions, we still try and get together. For as many of us are around as can, but we don't do it on Christmas anymore. We usually do it for a couple days after Christmas. And so, you know, like those were occasions for, you know, huge pots of Cioppino and turkeys and, you know, Christmas hams and prime ribs and whatever it was like the main, you know, dish for that night. But now I'm like, you know, like the goose that we probably would have needed like several of them, I'm guessing, if we did a Christmas goose. I don't know. I've never done it. I don't know how big they are, but, now I'm like, well, with a little bit smaller gathering, perhaps we do need a Christmas goose. Perhaps we have to go Muppet Christmas Carol on that. Oh, go Christmas goose. Yeah,
that's the thing. It feels very Dickens, right? Like to have your Christmas goose. So there's a goal. Maybe next year we can report back about the Christmas goose.
Maybe. Or, you know, if you out there in the listening public have ever done the Christmas goose and you've got like tips and pointers, let us know.
Oh, please let us know.
Yeah.
We would love that. So besides our own things, you know, I was poking around like what are the Christmas foods of the world,
right? And, you're doing research.
Some of them, well, because I'm like, you know, people have weird ass shit that they eat, right? Like, and that's their tradition. And
I mean, especially I'm sure they wouldn't qualify it as weird ass shit, Diz. All right,
we think you know, Cioppino's weird.
Cioppino can be weird, yeah. Yeah.
Like another sweet one, but like arroz con leche, like that might be weird. But it's true. It's just pudding. But okay, Greenland, of course, I have to go straight to Greenland because you know it involves whales, right?
Yeah.
But listen to this. So for Christmas in Greenland, you want to have matak, which is whale skin with a strip of blubber inside. Okay, that sounds like what I would expect Greenland to have.
Right.
But how about kiviak, which is the raw flesh of auks, which are an Arctic bird, which have been decomposing while buried in seal skin for several months.
Wow.
That takes a lot of effort. That's a very different choice. So months ago, some people went out and took their auk birds and buried them in a seal gut and let it decompose. What a Christmas gift to dig up.
The fact that you even have like seal gut laying around, right? Like, I found this dead bird and I'll go and wrap it up in some of that seal gut that I've been holding on to. or that I just found as well, and now I'll bury it and eat it later. That whole thing, start to finish, is an odd progression.
They're doing Advent right. They're just waiting for the goodness to decompose.
They're waiting. It's true.
I mean, I don't mean to like knock on it, because like to each their own, but.
Right. We drink a lot of fermented grapes and barley and other things.
Also traditional, I feel, in the U.S. is, and amongst the Jewish peoples of the U.S. too, I think, to go to Chinese food,
Christmas. That's right.
And my family has done that on a few years when we didn't have the usual things going, and it's pretty fun.
I was just watching A Christmas Story today. It's with the duck at the end, and you go, it's smiling at me. Yeah. Classic.
So that's the only way to eat duck.
Yeah.
What do you think baby Jesus was eating besides breast milk? Like, what were Mary and Joseph? They were just eating like snack mix, right? Like on the road.
Right. Just probably like, some figs, a mezza platter perhaps.
Well, it would be Hanukkah. So
right. I'm guessing they didn't. Well, they didn't have, it wasn't Hanukkah yet, right? Hanukkah came, didn't Hanukkah come after Jesus?
No.
No?
No, Hanukkah's from the Maccabees, keeping the oil lit.
Right. Is my timeline out of whack? I thought that was after Jesus, no?
Oh my gosh, this is terrible. I don't know. Now you're making me doubt myself.
I don't know either. I thought that Hanukkah post-dated Jesus.
You know what? You're probably right, because it's about the temple, like,
being Passover destroyed. Predated Jesus.
Passover for sure predates Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I have been thinking the wrong thing forever, probably. That's hilarious. And also awesome. Just awesome.
Plus,
yeah, because that would be 2nd century BC.
There you go. Oh, 2nd century BC.
Yeah, the second temple. No, I am right. You're crazy.
Okay. But. No, I don't. I'm just confused is all.
Yeah, no. I am the most confused as well.
Did they have potatoes for baby Jesus to make latkes? I don't know.
Yeah, so Hanukkah happened during the Syrian oppression, like 200 BC.
Okay.
68 BC. So not, maybe it wasn't really big when Jesus was like, but, he's during the last invaders, during the Romans, and the Syrians were definitely before then. So okay,
maybe that's what I was thinking, was that like it wasn't like a major, like it's not like a major, it was not a major celebration.
No.
Holy day. Yeah, it's considered to be like, in terms of the Jewish calendar, like a relatively minor holiday, but because it competes with Christmas, it's like grown in popularity for sure.
So
they would have celebrated Hanukkah, but it wouldn't have been like a giant celebration for them.
You weren't like loading up those 8 days of gifts that your Jewish kids didn't feel left out because the Christian kids were giving, Christmas presents.
That's what I was confused on.
Okay. I was like, oh my gosh, I should really know this.
Well, we both should.
Very embarrassed.
I think that we've arrived at a place where we're both right. So, yeah.
And you know what? I wish baby Jesus had a little menorah. Bit of a fire hazard, but.
Menorah and a dreidel and some latkes and some manischewitz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are great.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was like.
Yeah. Maybe that was one of the gifts. They just don't mention it.
Yeah. Okay. I think maybe all 8 of his Hanukkah gifts were his parents making sure that he didn't get murdered by King Herod. Yeah.
Right. Little refugee baby Jesus got his latkes on the road.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think we've officially gone into a crazy land now.
Yep. We are off the rails.
We're drunk. Where?
I think it's time for us to get back on them. Yep. I think maybe next week we're probably taking a week off, right? It's like we've made it Advent and we're probably going to be back during the Christmas season at some point, but who knows? Maybe we'll have nothing to do except kill time, and we will do one. I don't know.
Well, no one really knows, as yeah. God wishes. But we did want to talk next time, maybe one of our next times, about our church year resolutions. We like to do that, which will kind
That's
of be a
right.
Christmassy
That's
thing.
Right. I actually have one. Yeah, but we can maybe have that be our first yeah. episode of the Christmas season.
Yeah, and we can yeah. do a little celebration.
That sounds good.
Of that. So yeah. Tell us, what do you like to eat? Around Christmas
yeah.
by emailing us at churchtrunk@gmail.com. If you have suggestions for us in the Christmas season, we'd love to hear them. And we're also looking at a Drunk Lives of the Saints coming up. So tell
there
us your
for sure
picks for that. You can tweet yeah. it, yes, at Church Drunk Pod, and look at the blog too.
Yeah. And we wish you a very, very Merry Christmas, or a Happy Hanukkah, or a festive Kwanzaa, or whatever you celebrate.
We're just glad you joined us here on Remote Church Drunk.
Remote Church Drunk. Yeah, that's
go.
Remote Church Drunk. That's Remote Church Drunk.
Where baby Jesus did have Hanukkah.
True. All right. Well, long distance cheers, and get better soon, Diz. And we'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Peace, everyone.
Bye-bye.